Welcome to Shetland with Laurie, a podcast dedicated to Shetland, the place and the people, with me, Laurie Goodland, a writer and tour guide based at 60 degrees north. The Shetland with Laurie podcast is for people who have visited Shetland, or who would like to visit, or for those who would just like to know a little bit more about life here. So welcome, I'm so glad you're here. Hello and welcome to episode 10 of the Shetland with Laurie podcast. This is a big one for me and probably the most requested topic that you've asked me to discuss. And again, today is another solo show. So I'm going to be talking about language in Shetland, and if I'm honest, I have absolutely no idea where to start with it. It's a huge topic and it permeates every aspect of life here. It is the very fabric that holds our community and our culture together. Without this common language that has evolved over the years, Shetland would be unrecognisable and our heritage far less rich and nourishing to those who live here. So this is an emotive topic for me, and it brings up so many feelings of both pride but also of fear and sadness. It brings me pride because I'm deeply proud of our language, its roots and its place in our culture and heritage. And it brings me fear and sadness because, as with any other marginal language, it's under increasing threat. It's constantly being eroded, changed, and lost through external forces for various reasons, which I'll discuss as we explore the topic more deeply. So my accent and the language that we speak here is something that I'm constantly asked about, especially when I have people on tours and they pick up on my strong accent, the intonation of my voice, and the way that I pronounce, usually my vowels in particular. Guests often apologise that English is maybe not their first language, and to that I usually tell them that it's not my first language either. So I'm also going to point out from the outset that we have never in Shetland spoken Gaelic or Gaelic. These are the languages of much of Scotland and Ireland, but not Shetland. Gaelic is another distinct and equally marginalised language, but not one that has any Shetland roots, and the roots of our language have no Gaelic basis. Although when I watch Outlander, I long to speak Gaelic. How nice would it be to be called someone's Sassenach? Although that word actually describes an English person, but hey, I could fake Englishness for Jamie Fraser any day. And just as an aside, if you haven't watched Outlander on Amazon Prime, then you must. So, back to today's show, Shetland as a dialect and a language. Now, in reality, the language spoken by Shetlanders is a regional dialect of the English or Scots language. I would personally still call it a language, and again, we'll come to that later. But Shetland's best loved poet, in my mind, Vagelund, describes the language very well. He says that Shetland's dialect is, and I quote, "Brocken English, Brocken Scots, and Idderbrook forby." So, let's unpick this statement. What Vagelund is saying is that the Shetland language is broken English, broken Scots, and basically other rubbish thrown in there as well. By this, he means that the language spoken here is, and was, a mix of Scots, English, and others. The other languages he's referring to include the Old Norse language, known as Norn, that was spoken here until about 300 years ago, and fragmentary pieces of German and Dutch and other languages which have kind of influenced Shetland over the years, which can also be found in the dialect. And many of the Old Norse or Norn words live on in the dialect that's spoken here today. So the last person who is believed to have spoken Norn in Shetland was a woman called Jeannie Rather, and she died in 1926. And Old Norse was a language that was spoken across the Scandinavian world, and the closest surviving language today is found in Iceland. And each country had its own version of the language, and in Shetland this grew, developed and evolved and became Norn. And it's where the roots of our language today are firmly planted. So the language itself came to Shetland with the Vikings when they arrived here around about 850 AD. And prior to this, we have no record of what the language looked like or what the place names were in Shetland at that time. The Norse settlers came here and they really rewrote the map and they changed the course of Shetland's history entirely. So we will never know what pre-Norse language in Shetland looked or sounded like. The Viking assimilation was a whole-scale cultural transformation here. And the Vikings are thought to have arrived in Shetland from western Norway, and they subsequently settled in the islands, giving rise to what we now know and refer to as the Norse period. And both Shetland and Orkney became Viking and later Norse strongholds until 1469, when the rule was passed over to Scotland, bringing a close to over 600 years of Norse rule here. And this introduced a new chapter to our language's history as Scots became more widespread and prevalent. But despite integration into Scotland from 1469, Shetland was slow to let go of their native tongue, and even by the late 19th century, some 400 years since passing to Scotland, remnants of this Old Norse language could still be found. There was a Faroese scholar called Jakob Jakobsson who came to Shetland at the end of the 19th century, and he recorded all the Norn words that he heard spoken and those that could be remembered. And he travelled all over the islands and he compiled these words into a comprehensive 2-volume dictionary of over 10,000 words on the Shetland language. And this remains to this day the greatest work that has ever been undertaken into the dialect and language of Shetland. So today, many of the dialect words still in use have their roots in the Old Norse language that was spoken here. And again, I'll draw from the work of poet Vagalund, who wrote a poem about the dialect called Shetlandry. And he writes about the various parts that can be found in a boat, drawing their names from the Old Norse language. So he writes, "Nu of a boat you mention, than der mony a Norn name, for the tulfers at the bottom to the stammering at the stem." So this refers to the movable boards in the bottom of the boat, or the loose planks that provide a deck, known as the tulfers, and the wood that holds the sides and the stems of the boat together, often providing a seat, which is called the stammering. And many of the traditional names for boats and the parts that make up a boat or that are used in boat building are the same across Scandinavia, even today. And the language of boat building in these northern Scandinavian countries is often one and the same. And Vagalund continues in this poem, and this time, considering the practice of cutting peat for fuel, he says, "And it's Norn words you're speaking when you work it to the hill, with the tuisker that you cast wi, and the kishy that you fill." So this is describing the process of cutting peat, and he says that you use a tuisker, which is a peat cutting tool with a long handle and a thin blade that's set at right angles to the handle. And he also speaks about the kishy that you fill. And a kishy is a basket made of straw that's carried on a person's back. that you would sometimes fill with peats or pits when you're taking them home from the hill where the peat was cut from in the moor. So the Shetland language or dialect is often described as modern Shetlandic Scots, or a form of the Scots language by some linguists. And it has a unique vocabulary, but as yet there are no standard criteria for distinguishing languages from dialects. And whether or not Shetland dialect is a separate language from Scots or just a dialect of Scots is very much debated still today. So I'm a firm believer that Shetland is in fact a language. I always write Shetland on the school forums when they ask what languages are spoken at home. Unfortunately, the school system is still to record Shetland as the language of my children, and this plays a part in the deeper continued erosion of our language, which I'll talk about in more detail soon. But to understand where Shetland sits in a world of words and etymology, we must consider what a language actually is. So what are the qualifying ingredients that mark a language as something different, as something that goes beyond a regional dialect or a sub-language of sorts? So for this, there's a few dictionary definitions that we can call upon, including, firstly, and I quote, "the principle method of human communication consisting of words used in a structured and conventional way and conveyed by speech, writing, or gesture." Or another definition of language is, and I quote, "a system of communication used by a particular country or community." And then we have the definition of dialect, which is in many ways an umbrella term that the Shetland language and other marginalised languages are often thrown under. Dialect is defined as, and I quote, "a particular form of language which is peculiar to a specific region or social group." So how is this definition different from the definition of a language? In my opinion, these definitions are the same. There are no differences. And to classify a language as a dialect seems to me to be a means of downgrading and undermining its importance or its relevance. This categorisation makes it sound in some way less important or less relevant and worthy to the study of language. And it means ultimately that the language is offered less protection and less respect, and as we've seen with other languages, this often leads to a reduction in its use, eventually meaning that it will no longer be spoken and runs a real risk of becoming an extinct language or a language that is no longer spoken. So, as means of comparison, let's consider the English language. Spoken the world over and very much categorised as a standalone language in its own right. But is it? Like all languages, dialect or otherwise, English has evolved over time into the language that we speak and understand today. But English itself was derived from many other languages through a process of linguistic evolution in the same way that any other language is. English evolved mainly from the West Germanic language that includes English, German, and Dutch, but it had other influences as well. So there are words derived from the Latin. So would it be fair to say that English is in fact a dialect too? And that's my point. When do we decide how important a language is and when it can be upgraded from a dialect to a language of its own. Is this maxim based on the number of people who speak it, or historically how many countries the language controlled? Where are the markers in this game of words? Now, linguists like to repeat the grand old observation that a language is a dialect with an army and a navy. So presumably a dialect is one without an army or a navy. An English speaker might be tempted to think that a language is basically a collection of dialects where speakers of different dialects within the same language can all understand each other more or less. But why, if that's the case, is it that if a Shetlander were to fall into broad dialect, many other English speakers would be left scratching their heads? It's because Shetland is, and should be, viewed as a distinct language of its own, not a poorer cousin of the wider English or Scots language. And this goes for the Scots language too. It's not a poor relative of the English language. It's a rich and multifaceted language in its own right, one with regional dialects, and one that I too have difficulty understanding. And both Shetland and Scots should be afforded the same safeguards as any other language. Growing up in Shetland, I was taught ever since childhood that in order to be understood by non-Shetland speakers, I must canap. And that's what we say when we are speaking English. We're canapping, we're talking English. And we're doing this to be understood. And this is something that I automatically do with non-Shetland speakers. And I do this until I get to know them and to know that they understand me and understand the words that I'm saying. My good friend Alexa, for example, who I interviewed a few weeks ago on the podcast, she grew up in France speaking French and English, but I never talk proper English to her, as she's taken the time to listen and to learn the Shetland language and all its intonations, and it feels totally natural to speak Shetland to her. But when I hear an English accent or a foreign tone, I automatically tune into my canapping voice, as I'm doing on this podcast now, and I speak, and I hate to say this word, I speak properly. I find that speaking, quote, proper English all day is very tiring. I have to look for the words in a different way and to think more closely about what I'm saying and how I'm saying it, about how I'm pronouncing my words, how I'm pronouncing my vowels. Whereas at home, we automatically fall into the dialect and all its quirky idiosyncrasies. Language is an ever-evolving and ever-changing form of communication, and in many ways can't be defined to language or dialect, because it would be illogical to try, as there are so many regional and extremely localized versions of the same language. Even here in Shetland, where different dialects can be heard from village to village, or from parish to parish. An example is that I would call a potato a tatty, whereas someone in the South Mainland would call it a totty, which always makes me chuckle, and apologies if you're from the South Mainland. And if you were to visit Hwalsa, which is an island on the east coast of Shetland, then you would find their dialect is entirely different to anything else in Shetland. Even I have difficulty understanding, and I have to tune in a hard ear to understand their dialect. And similarly with food, there are regional differences. Where I come from, a boiled fruitcake is called a brownie, but in Hwalsa it's called a hofsi, and in the South Mainland they call it a doofy. So I would say that Shetland is a standalone language, and that all our regional variations are in fact dialects of Shetland as its own language. But maybe I'm just being overly patriotic. But why has the language in Shetland been eroded? Why are there fewer and fewer people talking in the Shetland dialect or Shetland language? So I'll now consider some of the threats to the Shetland language and how we can protect it and promote its usage and understanding. And I hummed and hawed about including this point in my list, but eventually I realised, or rather I always knew, I suppose, that for me this is the most important point to make on the marginalisation of a language. And that goes for any language, not just the Shetland language. And it kind of boils down to how it's viewed. And I kind of have to take a deep breath and steady the heartbeat before I tackle this one, as it's hugely emotive and it has the opportunity to become divisive, and basically what it boils down to is bullying. So growing up as a Shetland speaker, I and some of my friends were often bullied or picked on, I suppose, for how we spoke. And often this was just snide remarks in the playground and insinuations that we were perhaps backward or stupid because the language that we spoke was not the norm. It was a very localised language that few people spoke. And this kind of progressed into our teenage years, and particularly felt in the high school, where coming from a quote country school outside the town, it wasn't deemed very cool to be speaking in a localised language. And looking back, it makes me angry today that in the past I've used words and phrases that I would not have otherwise used had it not been that I was made to feel somewhat inferior, particularly at points during my education, for speaking with a Shetland accent, one that I grew up with, one that is born of the islands where we live. And this bullying, for want of a better word, was done both by non-Shetland speakers and by those who had Shetland roots too. It was done by teachers who would correct my English writing, for example, from the Shetland jamp. I jamp off the wall to the English equivalent, grammatically correct equivalent of jumped. I jumped off the wall. And it was something that I carried into early adult life with me. This kind of innate fear of speaking the language outside the parameters of what was deemed in some ways an acceptable place to use it. And this is not just uniquely felt in Shetland. This can be applied to and felt by anyone who comes to a place or a country where they feel that they don't speak or have the language of that area as their first language, whether that be English, Shetland, or another. And I'm sure that non-Shetland speakers have felt the same thing as something that marks them out as different within our community too. Because language can divide as well as unite cultures. It can be felt as something that defines or prevents your sense of belonging to a place. And I can remember going to university on the Scottish mainland and feeling utterly terrified that a tutor might ask me to speak, because then the onslaught of questions would inevitably begin. Where are you from? Why are your words so different? Why do you sound funny? And then finally, coming to the point, the inevitable question, do you have electricity in Shetland? That sense that my language marked me as different in some way from the rest of the class was something that I felt deeply, and the assumption that our language made Shetland a backward place was a frustrating reality until I would go on to explain that yes, we have electric, yes, I've got a toaster, yes, dialect is actually very special and it's rooted as much in our history, which is varied and rich, as any other language in the world. But I do think that things are changing though, and more people know about Shetland as a place. They know that we have electricity, heating, and all the mod cons. We even have Wi-Fi. The language is respected more today than it has perhaps ever been. But unfortunately, we have lost so much of that rich language of our ancestors already. It's been lost with the march of modernity, and it continues to be spoken less and less, and it's still under threat from those external forces. Shetland today is a fantastic multicultural society with a range of different languages and people, and we hear lots of different dialects, lots of regional variations of multiple languages spoken across the Isles, and they're all special and unique in their own way. But as more and more people move around and modern media sources that we're all tuning into, TV, radio, social media, they have more and more of an impact on us, offering us a world of words that fall under the national umbrella language of a nation. And this does, in turn, erode and dilute the local languages of areas who speak in a more marginalised language. But why has the Shetland language been marginalised to such an extent? So we heard at the beginning how the language here has its roots in the Scandinavian settlers, or the Vikings, who colonised the islands from the 9th century. Norse rule was in place here from then until 1469, when Shetland became a part of Scotland. And Norn was very much the language of the islands. But this began to gradually change as an influx of Scottish landowners, ministers and teachers moved into the Isles and brought their language with them. And during this period, the language was banned in the classroom. So Shetland as a language was banned in the classroom. English was preached in the kirk, and landowners retained their own Scots English tongue. The Shetland language in many ways became an outlaw language. It was a sign or a marker of the peasant class, of small-scale crofting and fishing. It was associated with strife and poverty. And for long, the Shetland language was confined to the home, not to be uttered outside the realms of close friends and family. It was very much a spoken language, whispered behind closed doors in the company of good friends. It gave us our folklore, our stories, and it passed down our rich history from one generation to the next. English, on the other hand, was the written language of the islands. It was the language of the law, of schools, of court records, of legislation. All of these were wrapped up in English. So for the Shetlanders of the 19th century, English was seen as the language of the oppressor, and Shetland in turn was the language of the oppressed. And the world today is losing languages every day and at a staggering rate. It's believed that every 2 weeks a language dies with its last speaker. Modernity and globalisation mean that we are ever more connected. We have more and more access to information. But this can have a direct and negative impact on languages, especially those with a small base of Indigenous speakers. The general consensus, and this is a sobering statistic, is that there are between 6,000 and 7,000 languages currently spoken in the world, and that between 50 and 90% of them will have become extinct, no longer spoken, within the next 100 years, and that one third of these languages already have fewer than 1,000 speakers left. But it's not all doom and gloom. Hebrew was resurrected from the corpus of extinct languages, and it was relearned from ancient texts, and with this thought, there is always hope. So how can we preserve the language, Shetland language or any language? For a language or a dialect to be considered truly alive, it should be spoken as well as written. And Shetland dialect has a strong oral tradition, and its protection is hugely important to me. And this protection or preservation starts in the home, and it begins in infancy. So at home, I never speak to my bairns or my children in proper English, and I never correct them if they are speaking in the dialect. As they learn to read and write, I will never correct their written words from Shetland to English. I remember my son's homework coming back from school, and it had been corrected from Shetland to English, just one or two words, but I was fuming. He had made absolutely no mistake. He had used the dialect correctly, and he had used it in the right context. And that's what matters. That's what language is. He had grasped the understanding of how to use a language, and he had put it on paper correctly. Unfortunately for him, he was made to feel as though he had made a mistake, and his work was corrected. And that, in my mind, is wrong, because his language is not a mistake. His dialect is not a mistake. So I corrected the work back into the dialect, and I returned it to the school. You might ask, won't this affect them as they grow up and they have to use English in the world? And I would say no, it won't. It's just like anybody who has a second language or parents who speak different languages. I still read them English books. They watch English TV, and if we're being honest, most of their peers and teachers at school talk to them in English. Losing our native tongue, in my opinion, would negatively impact them as they grow. And I want them to grow to be proud of their unique language and use it wherever possible. Organisations such as Shetland for Words, which I'll link in the show notes, work really closely with the schools to implement dialect back into the classroom and to kind of promote its general usage. But it needs to be introduced as more than just a passing topic, more than just a study on a Tuesday afternoon looking at the words we used to use. It needs to be spoken in the class, it needs to be encouraged, and we need to learn it to people who are coming into Shetland as well as people who were born here. What we don't want to be doing is correcting it and writing it out of our history. But why is it important to save languages? Why do we want to protect and promote them? Because languages are what add layers to our culture. They give a richness to our heritage, and they bestow pride in our communities. Language defines a people and a culture. It is the thread that holds a community together, sewing our lives and our experiences and our pasts into one great tapestry. It feeds into a deeper, more profound sense of belonging. And to belong gives us an anchor point to build the foundations of our lives. When we lose a language, we lose much more than just the words alone. We lose a diversity of literature, of poetry, drama, art, songs, expressions, and oral tradition. In truth, we lose a part of ourselves. Without a sense of belonging, people can often feel cut adrift or floating on a sea without a safe anchorage to call in at. We all of us search for that deeper sense of belonging, and language plays a huge role in giving us that sense of belonging. It forges communities and it speaks of shared experiences. Our words in Shetland are beautifully descriptive. The lilt of our language and the words formed on our tongues have a poetry that for me is soothing to hear spoken. It's the language of my childhood, my thoughts, my dreams. And the language feels much more to me than just the words that we speak. It's life itself. It's everything that I know. And it's a language born from our ancestors. And it's the thread that links us into our past. So this has been a very deep and emotive topic, and I realise that in actual fact you haven't heard much dialect here, as I've delivered this podcast to you in my very best English, because it's also important to be understood and to be able to communicate our thoughts to the world, and we do this through words and language. But I will end with some dialect, and I want to read you a few of my favourite poems that are written in our, not in our dialect, but in, as I hope you'll agree, our language. And if you listen carefully, you will pick out some understanding. And even if you don't understand all the words, you'll definitely get a gist of the pieces, and you'll just be able to hear how the language sounds and how it flows together. So the first poem is by my favourite poet. You've probably guessed it already, and that's Vagaland. And it's from his book, The Collected Poems of Vagaland. I'll link that in the show notes too. And the poem itself is written for children, and it's about the trows. And if you listen to my episode on folklore, which was episode 9, then you will be more than familiar with the trows. So, this poem is called Once Upon a Time. Auld Meenie tells some fearsome stories. She says the trows come out at night to wander round among the hooses, fae dayset till the morning light. She says they wait out by the Brigsteins to tak bad bairns awa' some place. The warst of them is piece their leety, terry mittens and truncher face. My mammy says it's just a story, like what's it of the fairy tales. They're nothing waiting at the mirknin for pretty bairns that's furt themselves. But when the night is getting darker, that dark that I can hardly see, I think, if I'm been bad, then maybe the trows might come for me. And I'm in ging when lamps are lighted for milk because we hae nae coo, doon ower the gate and by the chapel and on alang the burn brew. And cross the dark brown frozen water fae steppenstein to steppenstein, it seems that far fae lighted windows upo the lang hill gate my lane. I'll never let I'll tak me pistol, deen it Santy brocht for me, me brand new sheenin' automatic and a box of caps to lauder wi. I'll lauder up and tak me blinky, then I can travel any place, and I'm no fair fae piece their leety, Terry Mittens or Truncher face. Okay, and the second poem that I'm going to read is by a poet called Rhoda Bolter, and she's another favourite of mine. And this one is about the clearances in Shetland, a time in the 19th century when language was probably under the most pressure and when people felt that they couldn't speak the language outside their home. It's also a time when people were forcibly removed from their homes by landlords who wanted to make way for large-scale sheep farming. And I wrote a blog about this too, which I'll link in the show notes. But for now, this is Rhoda Bolter and The Clearance. I can see the roughs are ticket and the hinds are out the door. Fought carrying toward three pits hame, and rigs dealt every vor. A' the lums are reeking, and I hear the happy soons o' Piri Bairns skirling as they play them over the tunes. I seen sitting round the fire and toward three mair out by, sooking infants at the breast and women gian to cry. The toutful tried faces o' them that's lived hour lang, fractious bairns fading sleep, and sensing something rang. I hear a lood knocking and the crump o' mony feet. Men's voices raised in anger and the bairns start to greet. I see the folk a' herded out afore the landlord's main, and a' the bits o' things they hide fired o'er the briggy stane. I see the bare wa's standing and a' the land lie green. Lang syne the fire was slockit and mony a year is gane. Now they a' hae equal portions o' earth to tick their sleep. Tell me, was it worth it a' for twar three extra sheep? So that was quite a sad and reflective poem, and I always feel a lump in my throat when I read it, and the hairs on the back of my neck prick up. It's certainly not a poem to end on, so I'll read you another Rhoda Bolter poem, which is more lightsome and uplifting, and it's called Bide a Start Wi' Me, or Stay Here a While With Me. Come, draw thee share up to the fire and bide a start wi' me, while I tell thee o' the hameland, the isles across the sea. Were there birds to watch and fish to catch and heather hills to climb, and times when darkness never fa's o' the land o' the summer dim. I'll tell thee o' a winter's day wi' the gills and moor and snaz, when the sea is hammering at the banks and froding o'er the bars. And we haul the boats high i' the noose and batten doon the tick, while the Piri Mair just hangs her head and scogs fernance the dick. Can you hear the fiddle playing and summing softly hum, as we sit and watch the lowing pits and the spunks gian up the lum? And hear the clicking clacking o' the wires as the women mak their sock, while we spend some time together wi' the hamely Shetland folk. So those are a couple of my favourite poems, and you can find out more about our language and what it sounds like. I've left a link to Shetland for Words in the show notes, and they are an organisation that was formed in 2004 following a conference on Shetland dialect, and that convention was keen to see our unique way of speech, with its Nordic and its Scottish roots, survive and thrive. The group aims to foster and promote the use of both written and spoken Shetland dialect as a valued and essential element of Shetland's distinctive heritage and culture. And they also have a dialect map of Shetland, which I've also linked, where you can listen to the local accents and the regional variations, which differ massively across the islands. So for today, that is all from me, and I hope to have you here again with me very soon. and thank you once again for listening. Thank you for listening. This podcast can only be made possible by my supporters on Patreon, so a huge thank you to all my patrons. If you would like to support me in bringing you more of these shows, you can sign up and become a patron. You will find details about how to sign up in the show notes below or at www.patreon.com and just search Shetland with Laurie. And remember, you can find more on Instagram and give me a follow at Shetland with Laurie. So thank you once again for listening, and we will see you here next time. And in the meantime, safe and happy travels.